But we've had our certainly the two biggest parties in Northern Ireland, the DUP and Sinn Féin, telling us recently that in response to the Bagoa report, that the new way of thinking was critical to the health services survival. I say survival in terms of, in fact, let me retract that. They didn't say it's survival, but the health services' ability to care for patients in a timely manner. That's what they were saying about Michelle O'Neill's new plan. Because of the Bengoa report, that can't be implemented now, can it?
Just to move on, there was going to be a great emphasis on health promotion and disease prevention. We were going to try and ensure that people do not end up in the illness service, that people are better at looking after themselves, and that we all have a responsibility. This was one of the outcomes that I'd hope would happen, and that we pass responsibility on to the populace. We all are responsible in a way for our own health and well-being. We really have to educate our young people at school as to how they can improve their health. We're not doing this. We have people sitting in silos, looking over walls, blaming each other. We have various departments all delivering in parallel lines outcomes, which if they came together, they could do it with better outcomes.
The former chair, Paula Bradley, with us this morning, former chair of the Stormont Health Committee, the DUP's Paula Bradley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Are you concerned?
Of course I'm concerned. I'm extremely concerned. My background is health, as I've already spoken to you on this before. I have constituents that contact me day and daily still. I have people on the doors, and the main concern that is being brought up with us during this canvas is health again. And I think Mark said something earlier about someone needs to take charge of this. We have got someone in charge. We have a health minister who is there until the midnight of the day before the election, and she needs to be concentrating on this specific issue of waiting lists.
And doing what? Where's she get the money from? Where's she get the money from?
There was money already there and has been there in the budget that is set out at the moment, and yet our waiting lists are continuing to escalate, and I know there are many other reasons around that as well, but it seems to be there has been a lack of investment since she took over and being put into waiting lists.
I guess some of your political opponents would say if Arlene Foster had have stepped aside, they could be getting on with it.
We didn't call this election, Stephen. We are where we are. We're in an election period now. We certainly didn't want to be in this position. We want to be at our desks doing our work. We want to be there. I want to be chairing the Health Committee. I want to be the person that 2 weeks ago had the department in asking them what they were doing on waiting lists. Sadly, we're unable to do that until we're back up and running again.
Roy Beggs?
The dysfunctional relationship between the DUP and Sinn Féin is now adversely affecting everyone's health in Northern Ireland. It's as basic as that. There are new plans that have been developed. They're now stuck on the starting block. They cannot get on. They have not even produced a draft budget. There is no budget. There is no extra money that I understand a civil servant can allocate come the 1st of April. He can manage based on last year's budget. So the dysfunctional relationship between the DUP and Sinn Féin is adversely affecting everybody's health in Northern Ireland. They really need to get a grip of themselves and govern for the benefit of everyone in Northern Ireland. And I think most people have come to the conclusion that they are not capable of doing that.
You'll want to respond to that, Paula.
I totally refute what Roy has said. I don't think most people have come to that conclusion. I think that we proved it whenever we looked at the health. I think we proved it amongst all parties. And I think that the issue around health and people's health in Northern Ireland will be the crucial point whenever we go back into the Assembly, and will be the crucial point that has to bring about a budget before the 29th of March, because none of us, no single party out there, no matter who they are, want to see the health service decline any further or want to see it collapse.
Did the UUP back the Bagoa recommendations, by the way, Roy?
We have recognised that it is the right direction of travel. We recognise there's much promise.
Direction. When I hear a direction of travel answer from a politician, it's a non-answer. Did the UUP back Bengoa or not?
My understanding was, in general, we've given it a fair wind. We need to see what the details
are. A fair wind?
Yep. We need to see what the detailed plans that are behind it and how it's going to be implemented.
But you're the Ulster Unionist Party's health spokesperson, correct?
Pardon?
You're the health.
I was a former health spokesperson.
Correct.
Can I point it, Stephen?
No. Just before we do so, which bits of Bengoa did you object to?
I didn't object to any aspect of it.
So you totally backed Bengoa's recommendations, did you?
What is needed is the detail that is behind it, and that is yet to emerge. And bearing in mind a number of previous schemes which had great merit, which were not implemented.
Okay.
The transforming your care. There was invest to save. Where ultimately they were not delivered. The important aspect is not the plan. The plan has to be good, but then it must be delivered in a coherent fashion.
Sure, but the plan is the fundamental basis on which the policy would be delivered, isn't it? So, was there any recommendation? You've already said there was no recommendation in the Bengoa report that you objected to, correct?
I did not object to aspects of it, no. But it's the detailed implementation.
Object to any aspects of it. So therefore, did you, as the Ulster Unionist Party's health spokesperson, did you support the Bengoa recommendations in full?
Right, sorry, I am not the Ulster Unionist.
No, the former. You were the former.
Yes, but I was there in place prior to the Bengoa report being published. So I was not. It was not my role to comment on it at that time. But I'm saying to you, what is important is not just the plans, but how it's going to be delivered, and to ensure that the executive works together in a coherent manner, that the funding that is required is allocated in a budget. And at this stage, we didn't even get a draft budget produced before Christmas. In Scotland, it was in place before Christmas. In Wales, it was in place before Christmas. We never even got it produced in the early weeks of January. We have never even had a draft budget produced in Northern Ireland, never mind a budget for our civil servants and health staff to go on with and implement.
Okay, I was just asking for your view because you were a former health spokesperson.
Yes.
And I understand that you weren't at the time of Bengoa, fair enough. Help me with this. What's your party's policy on the Bengoa recommendations? Does your party support them in full?
We have given it favourable support. We want to get help.
Just a yes or no would help. Does your party support Bengoa in full?
I'm unaware of any aspect which we are unable to support. It is the right direction.
So is that a yes?
Take it as a yes rather than a no.
What do you mean rather than a no? Sorry, yes,
what I've said to you is...
Sorry, Roy, we're heading towards an election. We're heading towards an election. Okay. You're a senior member of the UUP. Bengoa was a significant report in this country. Does the Ulster Unionist Party have a position on whether it's supported the implementation of the Bengoa recommendations or not?
Stephen, yes. We recognise there was an expert panel, the detailed investigation, and there's many, many positive aspects of it.
I didn't ask if there are many positive aspects of it.
I said yes.
So there's nothing in Bengoa that the party objected to.
Yes, but what gives me great concern is the implementation of its outcomes. And one of the very first aspects of that was produced by the Minister in terms of the health and wellbeing, her response to it, which by January 2017, a comprehensive approach would be developed for addressing waiting lists. That has not happened already. The proposals are being failed and they're not being delivered.
And we will be asking Sinn Féin and we'll be asking Michelle O'Neill as to where that all is at the moment. I think they're on the programme at the moment. Just Roy, while we're with you this morning, so when you say that your party supports Bengoa in full, therefore the Ulster Unionist Party supports, for example, the policy of centralising acute hospital services on fewer hospital sites.
Some services undoubtedly will have to be centralised, but it's not about buildings. It's about ensuring that there is appropriate services and that there are appropriate services put in place in every location. There are insufficient support.
So the party supports centralising acute hospital services on fewer hospital sites.
There are certain specialist services which definitely need to be centralised. Think of cardiology. Think of paediatric cardiology support for children. There are a number of specialties which can be delivered better if they are centralised. We would support that. Stroke services, for example, where there are better outcomes from patients when there are specialist units. So, yes, we do support specialist units for specialist care.
So what areas in Northern Ireland, so that the electorate knows, would you give them a heads up, will you support the acute services being removed from those hospital sites?
Sorry, I haven't said that, Stephen. I've said that we recognise that there are specialist services which can be much better provided in a central location.
So which?
Well, I've given you some examples.
Yeah, but so give me a sense of where that means in Northern Ireland services would be removed in order to centralise them.
I've indicated to you that there are better outcomes for stroke patients when you have specialist units to provide a very particular care close to the time of the incident.
So where would you centralise? Where would you centralise the stroke service?
Well, I would take the advice of the professionals around that. Obviously, there are major locations which are better placed to provide that. I would take the advice of the clinicians.
Sure, because it's a hot potato, this, isn't it? Because there are some citizens and politicians have been worried enough about going against some of the thrust from some citizens who want services at their local hospital, Roy, close to them. The Ulster Unionist Party is saying this morning is the experts say centralise some services, so you're supporting taking services away from some local hospitals.
The experts also say that it's important to deliver other services, particularly primary care, additional support in the community, and ensure that earlier engagement and earlier treatment can occur. So what we do need to have is investment in our local health and care centres. And interestingly, in my own area, we don't have hospitals operating. Carrick's been closed some time ago. White Abbey, even the minor injuries unit's closed. Larne, Moyle Hospital's been closed. And even recently, they've even taken an X-ray unit. It's no longer operating within my constituency. What we need is proper health and care centres where there is good primary care available for everyone to address, as has been said earlier, illness in a very early situation, give a range of specialist support in a coherent fashion so that people do not need to get to our hospitals in the first place.
Okay. Roy, thank you very much indeed. Paula Bradley, just before you go, is it the DUP's position that you support centralising acute services?
It's the DUP's position that services are best placed to give people the very best health outcomes. And if that means centralising services, then yes, it does, but it doesn't mean that we do away with some of our other services within the community. While you were speaking to Roy there, I was thinking of the very good example we have down in the Braid in Ballymena, where they had their health centre has turned into a hub there, where they even have radiology services. They have also a multidisciplinary team there. You can go and you can get your physio, your OT, everything is there. So that's the type of services I think we need to put in place in order to move those acute services away, because quite often people require those other types of services and don't necessarily require the acute services.
Would you support the closing of some hospitals?
If that's what is better for people and better for health outcomes, then I personally, yes, I would support that. I would support anything that has a better outcome and better health outcome for all of the people of Northern Ireland. And if that means centralising services where they get the very best care and the very best treatment by the very best people, I don't think people are against that either.
Okay, Paula, thank you. Morning to you. Dr. George O'Neill, thank you very much indeed.